The candidates may be right about one thing. It's a fact that many people have lost their jobs that they've had for many years, and for many, there isn't an obvious alternative for them. However, the explanations both candidates give for this issue are more suited to getting votes than they are to adhering to the real facts. And it's the real facts that we really want to get to on this show. So to get to the point, I've invited Ilan Mui. She joins me from the Washington Post, where she's a financial writer covering the Federal Reserve and the economy. And she penned a recent article titled, What Republicans and Democrats Get Wrong About American Manufacturing. And that's what we're going to discuss today. Ilan, welcome to the program for the first time.
Thank you for having me.
So tell us the familiar story of the woes of the American manufacturer. I'll start you off. Companies move their operations overseas to take advantage of inexpensive labor. What is the typical story here?
Right. So often we hear that we just don't make things in America anymore, right? That China has become the epicenter of the manufacturing industry. It's the world's factory floor, if you will. Mm-hmm. And in the U.S., you know, we have moved toward a knowledge economy, we've moved toward a service economy, and those good old manufacturing jobs and that good old manufacturing products that we used to churn out just doesn't get made here anymore.
Right.
But when you look at the information and look at the data, you realize that that's actually not exactly right. We actually make here in the U.S. 2.5 times as many products as we did back in 1970. Industrial production, that's what economists call sort of the output for the manufacturing industry. Industrial production is near a peak level, really, and it's increased dramatically over the past 40 years. So when you say that America doesn't really make anything anymore, that's not true. What is true is that what we make is now different.
Okay, so there's a lot of information that you just gave us there. So let me back up a little bit.
Sure.
So in spite of the rhetoric and the sense that we've lost all these jobs overseas, and America is no longer a manufacturing country, the reverse is actually true. We are manufacturing quite a bit more than we were in 1970. And we are actually at a peak, a historical peak, in the amount that we're actually manufacturing, much of which is landing on the floor of American business, and much of it is being exported as well. So it's really a way of misspeaking to say that we've lost all these jobs because America is no longer a strong manufacturer, right?
Well, sort of. We're getting closer and closer to the truth here.
Go ahead.
What the data tell us. So let's start with this. What does America actually make? So, you know, there's no question that China has taken over a lot of the production that used to be made in America. Steel, for example, mm-hmm. being one of the prime cases. You know, China is a big manufacturer of toys, of apparel. So those are some things that used to be made in the U.S. that clearly are now being made in China, and China is a bigger player. But what we are making in the U.S. is a different category of products. So we're making things like pharmaceuticals. We're a big manufacturer of medicines. We're a big manufacturer of heavy machinery. Caterpillar is one company that comes to mind. We're a big manufacturer of autos still, not just from the big three automakers, but from foreign automakers. I'm thinking here of Honda and their big investment in Ohio, foreign automakers that are building cars here in the U.S. So, you know, to say that we're no longer making anything sort of misses the point, because it assumes that there's only one type of manufacturing product out there. Really, the U.S. has become much, much bigger and much more important in the world of advanced manufacturing.
Advanced, and I think that is the key. So a lot of the jobs that used to be around 30 years ago that required lower skill labor, those, in fact, are the jobs that have gone away.
That's right.
Yes.
So that gets the second part of this. So, right. So when we say we don't make things in America anymore, and that's hurting manufacturing employment, we've addressed the issue of what do we actually make in America. Now, the second issue is, what about the jobs? What about employment? Clearly, manufacturing employment in this country has declined dramatically. Back in the 1979, we had 19 million people employed in manufacturing. Now there's only 12 million people mm-hmm. employed in manufacturing today. So definitely a significant drop.
Yes.
The question is, what's behind that? How are we employing fewer people in manufacturing at a time when we're making more than ever? And part of that answer, and a large driver of that answer, is technology. Mm-hmm. So again, that advanced manufacturing that we talked about, we can now make more things with fewer people thanks to the benefits of things like robots, thanks to the benefits of things like automation. So a giant factory that might have employed 100 people at one time now only needs maybe 10 people to do the same amount of work, if not more. And so that's part of the reason you've seen manufacturing employment fall so dramatically, and it's really an underappreciated one.
Well, you know, it's hard to blame robots and technology when you're running for president. No, I'm serious. What are you going to say?
They don't get a vote. Robots don't vote, right?
So. Not yet, anyway. But the point is that it's while we are experiencing this huge surge of economic output, $2 trillion of value to the economy that manufacturing brings to the U.S. economy, it's being done more productively with less workers. So you mentioned a change from 19 million workers to 12 million workers. That's about a third of our workforce that has to be retrained or to be displaced somewhere else. So why aren't the candidates talking about taking federal monies and putting them towards retraining as opposed to coming up with trade barriers and all of these other things to restrict our ability to sell overseas?
You know, it gets a little tricky there. I mean, there have been multiple proposals throughout the years and certainly very good efforts to retrain workers for new industries. But I think what you're hearing and what you're seeing out of a lot of the more recent research that's comes out is that finding another place for these workers is more difficult than we thought. So perhaps they are less willing to move geographically to a place where there might be more jobs, and that the pain of the downsides of globalization are being felt in very concentrated ways, right? So that it's, you know, an entire town that might have relied, that might have been a company town sort of back in the day, you know, there becomes few options within an immediate geographic area for those workers to transition to. They can get all the training they want. If there's no jobs on offer, then, you know, that's still not going to help them any. Earlier this year, I was in Minnesota. I did a story about the iron ore workers there and some of the challenges that they felt as the price of iron ore had just gotten clobbered in international markets. And the workers there told me, you know, I've got every certification you can imagine. I've got a certification in cooling and heating systems. I've got my truck driver's license. I'm certified as a machinist. Yeah. I'm certified to work on any factory floor. And yet there's no jobs here for me. Yeah. And I'm going to have to move 2, 3, 4 hours away from home in order to find work. And that barrier is really high, no matter how much education you have.
Well, I'm so glad you brought it to such great detail, because that is the real conundrum for these individuals. It's not quite so easy for us to say, hey, just retrain, have them retrained, or hey, let's put tariffs on the Chinese or from Mexico and stop jobs going away. Because those jobs, you know, based on this data, it's not the culprit. The culprit is that the world is changing and it's moving more towards more automation and the need for less workers in those kinds of factory floor type jobs. And as you just said, even if you have all the certifications, you know, even going a far field and maybe driving a truck and doing other things to support your family, maybe the jobs are not there. You know, it also occurs to me, Ilan, and by the way, I'm speaking with Ilan Mui from the Washington Post. We're discussing this idea that America is no longer, you know, a key manufacturing country, which we're discussing in great detail. It occurs to me that during the 05, 06 housing crisis, that so many people's homes were underwater.
Mm-hmm.
That they owed more than their house was worth, that even if they wanted to move to an area where there were jobs, they were pretty much stuck.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that lack of mobility also would lead to hurting those individuals and their ability to cope with these changes. Now, luckily, that seems to be changing, where housing prices are about 4%, within the range of 4% back to where they were back in 2006. So there's a lot more capability of people to move around. So maybe that could be an added benefit. But the bottom line here, and for my listeners, is to understand that, you know, not to be so sure that the candidates are really addressing the heart of these problems as much as they're really just trying to tell you sound bites to get you riled up to vote for them. Final words there, Ilan?
Well, I would just say that it's very hard to stop the march of technology.
Mm-hmm. And I guess we've seen that, and it's going to continue no matter what. And listen, all of Silicon Valley is in existence to disrupt. So almost none of our jobs are safe anymore. Your industry, the journalism industry, has been disrupted terribly. My investment advisory industry is in the beginnings of being disrupted as well. So we're all targets in some way to technology. We'll all have to figure it out. Ilan Wei from The Washington Post, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.